and thinking about that and doing something about it at Christmas. Jesus is coming again. I see you all excited about that. Jesus is coming again. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 11, page 148. Advent is the biblical word meaning coming. And so the four Sundays before Christmas, we count them down, don't we? 4, 3, 2, 1, to the celebration of the birth of Jesus over 2,000 years ago. That first coming of God's Son into the world. This is the point where the whole human history began to take a turn in God's plan. And when God became incarnate or born in Christ, hope was offered to us, every single man, woman and child, because God himself made a way to forgive our sin and to reconcile us to himself. So we should celebrate Christmas, God's wonderful gift to us. A saviour was born for the world, as Keith White reminded us last week. Emmanuel, God is with us. And as we came this morning, again Keith reminded us, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am with you. Jesus is the living Lord. He is with us today. God is with us. You might find it a strange reading for me to take for Christmas, Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 11. We see here in these verses Jesus newly risen from the dead. For 40 days, Jesus had met with his disciples. He taught them about the kingdom of God. And it's hard to put ourselves into their position, but imagine it for a moment. It must have been quite amazing for them, if you can think about it. Having seen the Lord Jesus, in whom they had put so much hope for a new future, having seen him die in such a horrible and brutal way on the cross, and then to have witnessed him being laid in the tomb with a stone rolled across, this was the end of their hope. And then suddenly, 3 days later, miraculously to see him raised to life. At first, if you go back to those resurrection appearances, you'll see that Mary took the news to the disciples and they thought she was going crazy, perhaps because of her grief, or she was delusional. She wanted to see Jesus, but he was dead. He'd been buried. And then they discovered he was alive. It's hard to imagine what that must have been like. I've never seen a dead person taken to the tomb or taken to the grave and then rise again from the dead. Must have been an amazing, amazing thing. And they're on this kind of roller coaster ride. You can imagine them saying to each other, "The Lord is back. He's conquered sin and death. He's alive, he's alive." And so they ask Jesus this burning question. "Lord, will you at this time give the kingdom back to Israel?" They were thinking political, geographical. Israel, the people of God, being set free from the Roman rulers who had ruled over them for so long. "You're the Messiah, we acknowledge that. You've risen from the dead. Now must be the time. Surely this is the time." You can sense their excitement. You can sense their anticipation of a monumental victory. It's a bit like children, as Christmas gets nearer, young children say, "Is it today? Is Christmas today?" I remember with our children, we used to say, "No, another 12 sleeps." "Oh, is it today?" "No, another 10 sleeps." And so eventually that day came. But you can hear the excitement of these disciples. He was dead and buried. He's alive again. A wonderful victory. Now must be the time. And then Jesus, in verse 7, disappoints them. "The times and occasions are set by my Father's own authority, and it is not for you to know when they will be." Oh, imagine saying to your children, "Yes, we've had the 4 weeks up to Christmas. We're so excited, but actually it's not going to happen yet. And I can't tell you when." You can imagine the frustration and the disappointment. And then, just as suddenly as Jesus had come back to them from the dead, Jesus was taken up into heaven. And he left them again. I can imagine them standing there with their mouths open. What on earth is going on? He went, he died, he came, he died, he went, he came back again. This roller coaster ride that they were on spiritually, what is going on? Mystified by the whole. And then in verses 10 to 11, it says, they still had their eyes fixed on the sky as he went away, when two men dressed in white suddenly stood beside them and said, Galileans, why are you standing there looking up at the sky? This Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you saw him go to heaven. I wonder perhaps if they thought even then, if they stood there long enough, he might actually suddenly appear again. And this is the point, isn't it, as we prepare for Christmas. Jesus is coming back again. Do you know that? Are you sure about that? He's coming back again to end human history as we know it, to gather up all those who belong to him by faith, so that they will live forever in the kingdom that God has prepared for those who love him, in the kingdom of God where all our hopes have been pointing to, and then on that day it will be fully everything that we hoped it would be. No more sin, no more sickness, no more death, no more funerals to go to ever again. No more crying, no more tears, no more grief. Jesus is coming back again. If you're a Christian and you've given your life to Jesus and you know that he's set you free from the power of sin and death, this is a wonderful, wonderful thing that we declare. Jesus is coming again. The future is mapped out by God. The future is certain. It's not orange like they used to tell you. The future is certain. It's mapped out by God. Keith White said to us last week, this Christmas rejoice. And we were all waiting to hear what he was going to say. Do you remember what he said? We are 1 year nearer seeing Jesus face to face. We are 1 year nearer seeing Jesus face to face. If you're a Christian, that should warm your heart and thrill you and excite you. For some, though, that day will be a great joy. I hope that you're one of those people who anticipate the coming of Jesus with great joy. Maybe a little fear at the same time. God coming back in the clouds in victory and power, not as a baby in a manger. But I hope that you are one of those people, because you know Jesus, that you, and it will be a day of great joy if you're one of those people, because every hope and every promise fulfilled. Jesus is coming again. You can look forward to that with joy. But for others, the scripture is very clear, that day will be both a terrible shock and a horror. Because when they see that everything written in this book about Jesus is true, and yet they have spent their lives rejecting him, then suddenly their faces will change and they will realize that they've rejected the very Savior that God sent to love them, forgive them, and save them. You know, following the London Bridge attack last week reminded us again there's some horrible wickedness in the world. And then towards the end of the week, one news story really grabbed me, and I could hardly listen to it because they went into all the gory details of this man who was let out of prison by mistake. Did you hear that story? He'd offended and he was in prison, but somebody made a mistake and let him out. And before he was caught again, he went on to brutalize and rape 11 people as young as 11 years old and as old as 71 years old. And on the television news, all the gory details, he moved from this part of the country to that part. Oh, I can't repeat it. And my thought as a Christian was, how bad does it have to get before God calls time? How can it get? When is Jesus return? If you hope that I might give you the date and the time, I'm afraid I'm going to disappoint you, as the disciples were disappointed. Mark 13, Jesus said to his disciples, no one knows when that day or hour will come, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, only the Father knows. That's amazing, isn't it? Not even the Son who walked this earth knows the day and the hour, only the Father. And yet, despite this, many, many people over the years have predicted dates and times for his return, haven't they? Some of them were godly people who essentially had the truth. I'm surprised to discover that Martin Luther, our great forefather who started the Reformation and the Protestant Church, accidentally, on purpose, revealing the true nature of the gospel again to us, he was one of those who tried to predict the date of Jesus' second coming. Of course, it's impossible to do. There were also some who searched the scriptures, and they claim that after doing some complicated maths, that they can actually discover the date must be this. And some are, sadly, are just deceivers. Some are just deceivers. Jehovah's Witnesses have made numerous predictions of the date of Jesus' return. Here's just a few of them: 1874, 1914, 1925, etc., 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 1975, oh, 2000. Originally, they said Jesus had already come secretly and in private, and he's been here since, I think, 1914. I haven't noticed that, and it goes right against the scripture, doesn't it, which says every eye will see him. No invisible return of Jesus on that day. And the Jehovah's Witness, they have a success rate of their predictions of Jesus coming, well, of zero, or a failure rate of 100%. None of their predictions concerning the second coming of Jesus have come true. They are deceivers. Jesus himself says we cannot know. It's entirely in the hands of God. And so we need to be careful. We are to test everything by the word of God. What we do know is that Jesus is coming again. And in this final period of human history, the clash of the two kingdoms, the human self-orientated kingdom and God's kingdom, which has broken into the world through his Son, in these last days, the clash of these two kingdoms will become more and more evident in so many different platforms. We see disrupted and chaotic events in the nations. I don't think it's just that news travels faster these days, but France is in chaos at the moment, isn't it? Hong Kong is in terrible chaos. We don't know where that is ultimately going. The USA, well, number 45, is still in charge at the moment and may be re-elected again. That's a euphemism for President Trump. Latin America is in chaos. The Middle East continues in chaos. North Africa is in chaos and wars. There is chaos and chaotic events in the nations. And you might think, well, you've left out the UK. In our nation, we're all supposed to be going to vote on Thursday. You've all decided who you're going to vote for? No. Not many nods, quite a lot of shaking of heads. We are genuinely mystified, aren't we, as to who we should vote for, which party represents the nearest thing we can see to godliness. I can't see it. I find it very difficult. Our nation is in chaos. The traditional boundaries of the political parties seem to have broken down. We have well-known conservative people saying, for goodness sake, don't vote for Boris. We have Labour Party and union members saying we're not going to vote Labour, and so it goes on. We see in our nation human identity crisis. People don't know their roles in life anymore. They don't know their identity anymore. And, of course, an incredible turning away from God and his values, and we see that in so many levels in our society. In the world at large, we're seeing climate chaos, aren't we? Extreme flooding event. Again, yesterday, if you watched the news, where was there a severe flooding event on a massive scale? Did you notice that on the news? East Africa, Kenya. So often we've heard from Kenya, 20 years of drought. Suddenly, whole swathes of East Africa are flooded and overwhelmed with water. At the same time, extreme drought in other parts of the world. Australia, catastrophic fires burning in Australia, threatening the city even at the moment. 700 people lost their lives. A massive climate disaster there. And we're seeing more of these things in more of the nations that we couldn't have imagined seeing them before. Now the disciples we see in these verses, they had such a small view of the world and such a small view of things, didn't they? Is Israel about to be liberated from Rome? This little portion of the world, Israel, God's own people, is it now that we're going to be set free? The rest of the world, what about them? They had such a small view of things. But when Jesus comes again, it's about the liberation of human beings from the power of sin and death forever, and the coming in of the kingdom that will rule forever, of goodness and love and justice. This is the vision here in these verses. You know, don't just wait for some small domestic change to happen. When Jesus comes again, every eye will see. Everything will be changed. And that kingdom that Jesus will gather in, human history will be gathered up and sifted and sorted, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth appearing, which will be populated by those whose loyalty and love are for Jesus. And that kingdom, we're told, will welcome people from every nation, every tribe, people and language who have put their faith in Jesus. What a wonderful thing it will be. We have no idea what language the singing will be in heaven. It was interesting, some years ago, my wife and I had a request for two pastors from East Germany to come and stay with us at the time when the war was still up. And these two pastors came from East Germany, couldn't understand a word they were saying, and they couldn't understand a word we were saying. We just knew we loved Jesus. And the only time we kind of really felt we were talking together was when we had a time of prayer one evening together and people were speaking in tongues, and it felt like God was uniting us in a common language. Maybe that's the language of heaven. Maybe we'll be given a new voice and a new language and we'll sing it together. Ghanaians will unite with Nigerians. Hey, white people will no longer seem to tower above others and lord it over others. Every language, every tribe coming together with one common language, praising. It'll be a wonderful, wonderful day. When Jesus returns, sin will lose its grip on the world. Death will be a thing of the past. And justice will be established finally. Don't you long for justice to be established? You know, I used to believe in the law, and I still hope that the law will hang in there. But when I've brushed against it in the last few years, the law really only is good for those who can afford to employ it. So much injustice. Everywhere, so much injustice. And you long for God to come and put wrongs right. And on the day when Jesus comes again, wrongs. When we forgive people here on earth, which is what God calls us to do, it doesn't mean that those people have escaped the consequences of their behavior. God is the judge. And on that day, all the wrongs will be put right and justice will prevail. Deceivers will get their reward. God has planned for this day. Jesus is coming again. This is certain. And all will see him return. And that includes all the skeptics, all the atheists, all the people who've ridiculed Christ and ridiculed Christians and made him an object of swear words and so on. All will see Jesus coming again, and they will know that he is the Lord of heaven and earth. But in the meantime, in these last days, those who have put their faith in him, our business, we're told very clearly in these verses, is not just to stare into heaven waiting. Is it today? No, our business between the first coming and the second coming of Jesus is very clear. It's to reach out to the world with the wonderful saving message of the gospel, to ensure that everyone, every man, woman and child, has the chance to hear the gospel of Jesus, their saviour. And our call to everyone, including those of you who are here today, is repent and believe. Get right with God, because Jesus is coming again. When you talk to young people sometimes, they say, I'm not going to change my life just yet, but I'll do it when I'm old. You know, sadly, even over these past few weeks, we've thought about that, haven't we? We have a young man who sadly took his own life, age 22. We would say, wouldn't we, to a young person like that, you've got your whole life ahead of you. And often we live life like that. We think we'll go on a rampage, and then when we're old, we might think about God. But we don't know whether we're going to be old. We need to get right with God today, because Jesus is coming again. Who knows when? Today? This afternoon? This week? Before Christmas? One of the students at college used to say to me, please don't let him come before I get married. There may be something. Matthew 24 says that people's love for God and the gospel will grow cold. Certainly true of the Western nations. But as well, the scripture says that the gospel will be preached to the whole world. It's already well in progress. And as the word goes out to the nations, the scripture says, there will also be, as well as a reduction and turning away in the West, there will also be a great revival. And it is, if you don't believe it, it is happening in China, India, Iran, and many, many nations. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Will you be ready for Jesus when he returns? Are you doing the business of the kingdom, reaching out to others between his first coming and his second coming? Shall we pray?